in South Africa, the weather is so nice throughout the year, even in wintertime. You wake up in the morning, it's a little bit cold. By 10 o'clock, it's 20-something again. And because of the weather, road running is big there. Athletics is big in South Africa. I spent many a day watching athletics. And a group of teachers from different schools, all us guys and even some ladies, we actually took an exam with the IAAF. That is the International Association of Athletics Federation. We took this course and this big exam so that we could be qualified to be officials at any international amateur athletics meet. Believe it or not, I also participated in athletics. You say, wait, yes, I did. We did a lot of road running. And while my friends and cousins and all of them were involved in ultra distance running, that is like 81, 82 kilometers, I just focused on half marathons. A half marathon is 21 kilometers. So it was nothing for us to come home from school where I was teaching and wait for my friends, and then a group of us will run 21 kilometers just for the sake of it. That's from here to Setna, just because. But running was dear to me, friends, because its premise is laden with symbolism that is appropriate to the race that we must all run, called life. Life is one amazing race. It begins with the process called birth, and it ends with the culminating event called death. And in between these two events is where we all find ourselves right now. And this process of life and how we live it is an extremely serious matter. Because where we spend eternity depends on how we run the race of life now. In the Bible, there are many uses of athletic imagery to illustrate the race of faith that God calls us to in this life. We are all in a race, friends. It's not a sprint. It's not a 100-meter dash. It's not a jog through the park. It's not a stroll through the woods. It's a marathon. It's a marathon. But to many of us, it's more like a cross-country marathon. Because we always faced with ups and downs. We always faced with obstacles. If those of you know what it's like to run cross country, you have to cross over a stream, and then you have to climb over a fallen tree, and so on and so on. And so life to us is full of obstacles on this path. And therefore, running the race is very important, friends, that we do so with endurance. That we do so with endurance. The race requires absolute dependence on the one who called us to the starting line. Absolute dependence on the one who dresses us in our racing gear. and the one who gives us the endurance to stay on a track that is filled with trials and tribulations and tests that we can't even imagine sometimes. Paul, in the Bible, had this in mind when he wrote to the churches. In Acts chapter 20, Paul speaks about his own life, his own race, and his heart's desire to face any obstacle or trial in order that he may finish the race that God had called him to run. In Acts chapter 20, verse 22 to 24, listen what he says. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. He writes a letter to the church at Corinth. He writes to the Corinthians who were not running as qualified or disciplined athletes, who had taken their eyes off the finish line, who had taken their eyes off the one who called them to run in a way so as to win a prize. Paul once again uses his own life to stir their hearts. Listen what he says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get the crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. No. I do not fight like a man beating the air. You know, a boxer punching the air. You call it shadow boxing. I don't do that. No. I beat my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Then he writes to the church at Philippi, the Philippian church. And he says this in Philippians 3. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already made, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken all of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Friends, these are just a few samples of how Paul used athletic imagery throughout his letters to men and women who are running the race of faith. When we come to the book in Hebrews now, where our text is, we see the same type of imagery used. Now, we're not saying, because we don't know, who wrote the book of Hebrews? Nobody knows. We don't know. There are tons of books about it. I did a 25-page paper trying to prove who wrote the book of Hebrews. Friends, but as we look at the section of our text, that is Hebrews 12, it sounds like Paul. Our text this morning is this, friends. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. The word therefore that starts this text, friends, in verse 1, is very significant because it serves as a hinge between chapter 11 and chapter 12. So he has chapter 11, therefore chapter 12. Do you see that? Now let's go to chapter 11. Chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews gives a long list of men and women who ran the race of faith. He gives a long list of men and women who have gone before us, who lived for God, who lived the Christian life, who had encountered all kinds of obstacles, trials, and heartache in their lives, but who was found faithful, who had held firmly to the hope they professed. For example, if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, he mentions Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abram and Isaac and Jacob and Sarah and Joseph and Moses and Rahab. And the hero, these are heroes of faith, he calls them. And then let's look at that. And then in Hebrews chapter 11, just towards the end, 32 to 40, we see that these and other Bible characters, what they had to endure. You thought their Christian life, or we're calling it Christian now, their lives of faith was a breeze in the park. It was a stroll through the roses. No, sir. Look at what they went through. And what more shall I say? The writer says, I do not have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Listen what they went through. Who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they may gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging. while others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskin and goatskins, destitute, persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. None of these people saw Jesus. They did not receive the Messiah. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Friends, so we see now that the word therefore, after all these people here, all their struggles, all their hardships, therefore is now packed. A lot is packed into it. Let's go back to read verse 1 again, or verse 12. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Which witnesses? Chapter 11, witnesses. Since we are surrounded by so many people who have gone before us, who ran the race of faith, who won the race of faith, since we are surrounded by them, who in my mind's eye, they are seated on the grandstands in heaven looking at us and saying, keep going, buddy. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, hey, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Why? So that we can run with endurance the race that is set before us. Do you get that, friends? The cloud of witnesses are those men and women, those faithful souls who have gone before us. Being surrounded by such a great cloud of faithful men and women should inspire us to do what? Keep running, but take off those things that are slowing us down. Have you ever seen a person running a race with a shirt and tie? How about a parka? How about snow boots? No, let me tell you something. Don't ask for any photos. I will never show you. But you know when we ran with skimpy shorts, little vest, very expensive shoes. Why? Have you noticed when you go to a sports shop, the lighter the thing is, the more expensive. Isn't that true? You go buy yourself a bicycle. You can go to Walmart. But if you're into riding, you buy a bike that you can pick up with your little finger. Carbon something. Isn't that so? You know why? The athlete wants to take off all the weight that is not necessary, that is going to hinder him or her in the race. When we used to practice, train, we run in with track suits on. It's hot, man. But on the day of the race, skimpy shorts. No pictures. But friends, you got the idea. There are people who are running the race for Jesus Christ. who are living the life of faith. You know what? Man, you're trying to run with the steam on your shoulder. Huh? You know what's this here? This is doubt. You're running with doubt. You're carrying it. Huh? You're running with a big backpack. It's called unforgiveness. But now you're trying to run. And you know what it's doing? It's discouraging you. It's causing you to want to quit. It's causing you to want to stop. Do you agree with that, friends? I know Butch used to be a runner when he lived in Drumel. You know, when you run, you gotta prepare, friends. You're not just gonna run around just dragging stuff around and all that. You want to run a race. And God has called us to the starting line. And he says, you know what? Run with endurance. Some of the baggage we carry around, friends, as Christians, is past mistakes. Oh, we can't get past that. Hey, we messed up. We condemn ourselves. Or every time you want to do something for God, you are reminded of that big mistake you made in whatever, right? And then you want to quit. What about unresolved conflict? Unhealthy relationships. This is some of the baggage we carry. Unfulfilled expectations. Doubt. Fear. Whoa, fear is a terrible one. Guilt. Now we're running the race for Christ. We're carrying guilt and all these things. We're trying to live our lives for God. Friends, these things only hinder our progress. Anything that is hindering you from serving the Lord, the writer says, come on, guys, take it off. Eh? Take it off. You know that big backpack you call sin? It's harder to run with it on your back. You know what? Take it off already. Take it off. Christianity is not about what we can do. It's about what we are able to do through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? Anybody can do what he can. But it takes a child of God to do what he can't. Whatever you do, or whatever you can do, you and God can do better. Amen. 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 With God, a little becomes a lot. With God, two small fish and five barley loaves of bread is more than enough to feed thousands of people. Amen. Amen. Did you see the difference? Friends, whatever you got becomes greater when you hook it up with the Lord. Suddenly your fine house becomes a home. Do you see that? Because Jesus is welcome there. Knowledge hooked up with the Lord turns into wisdom. A dream blessed by the Almighty God becomes a calling, a vision. A career that heals to the Spirit becomes a calling. A life that is dedicated to the Lord becomes an abundant life. When you trust God with what you can do, He gives you the power to do what you can't do. Amen. Amen. And this is called the race of life, friends. The race of faith. And we all in it. Friends, if you are determined to endure, if you are determined to persevere, God will turn your "I cannot" into "I can." I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can run and not grow weary. I can walk and not faint. Do you see that, friends?
Amen.
When you give him all you got, he supplies all you need.
Amen.
Amen. When you are incapable, he is capable. When you are weak, he is strong. When you don't know, he does know. When you are powerless, he is all powerful. And when you don't have the answer, he has the answer.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Man, you know, serving God is a race that has its hills and valleys, and we just got to run with endurance, friends. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. As we take a long, hard look at ourselves this morning, as we look at ourselves, let us take off, strip down, get rid of any sinful thought, action, habit, or relationship. Sin will cause us to fall. Sin will corrupt, change, control, conform, and consume a Christian if left unattended. Do not let anything weigh you down. I was reading this kind of funny thing. It's quite a terrible story about a man who went to play golf early one Saturday morning. His wife became concerned because it was getting dark already, dinner time, and he wasn't home. Until later he came through the front door, exhausted. "Where were you?" the wife demanded. "Well, I was playing golf." "But that was many hours ago," she said. "What happened?" He says, "Man, I was having the best game of my life. I was 2 under par. When on the 7th tee, Harry had a heart attack and died." The wife said, "I don't understand." He said, "Well, after that, it was hit the ball, drag Harry. Hit the ball, drag Harry." That's a terrible story, I know. It's only a joke. It didn't really happen. You say, "Oh, these people are terrible." Is there something, friends, or someone slowing you down? Think about that question. Is there something or someone slowing you down? Are you trying to run with extra weight? Are you dragging something behind you? Get rid of it. We are encouraging ourselves today, each other. Run freely. Perhaps it's unconfessed sin in your life. Talk to the Lord. Say, "Lord, I have sinned. I failed." Confess our sins. God says it's time to lay aside anything that traps you, ensnares you. Put them away. We all sin, friends. Listen, we all sin. In 1 John 1 verse 8 and 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, he, our Lord, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, unconfessed sin hinders us from running the race of faith. The Hebrew writer says, lay it aside already. And when you've done that, you run with endurance, the race that is set before you. Bob Whelan, it's a true story, finally crossed the finish line on Thursday, November 6th, 1986. The New York City Marathon, in which 19,000 on that day 413. That was his position. That's how many people ran, and that was where his position. He was the final finisher. Now I quickly went to go and read more about the New York City Marathon. It's a marathon. It's not a half marathon, 21. It's not an ultra marathon, 80 something. It is a marathon, 42 kilometers. And I read that the average time any athlete takes to run the New York City Marathon is 4 hours 30 minutes. Well, actually, to be, it was like 4 hours 23 minutes. But here was Bob Whelan. He came last. He came 19,413th. But he was the first runner to run using his arms because he had no legs. You see, Whelan is a 40-year-old Californian whose legs were blown off in the Vietnam battle 17 years before. He recorded what race officials says was the slowest time in marathon history. Instead of taking 4 hours 30 minutes like the average, he took 4 days, 2 hours, 48 minutes and 17 seconds. He was greeted like a champion by race director Fred LeBeau, who had written Whelan off as a dropout. But they got word that he was on the route. And when he finished, Whelan said, "Success is not based on where you start. It's where you finish, and I finished."
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful, friends? The first step, he said, is the most difficult. After that, we are on our way home. The joy has been the journey. The Hebrew writer says, "Let us run with endurance, with patience, with perseverance, the race that is set before us." Then in verse 2, wait now. Then in verse 2, the Hebrew writer recalls as the climax of his presentation of the great heroes of faith in chapter 11. Then in verse 2, he changes. He says, "Listen, let's look at the endurance of Jesus Christ." Let's look at the endurance of Jesus in the face of extreme suffering and shame and opposition. And verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Friends, our greatest inspiration for enduring and persevering is our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our inspiration, our enduring comes from the one who endured Calvary's cross for our sake. And why do I say that? Because he knows what it's like to stand in the face of opposition. He knows what it's like to experience being hung on the cross and being persecuted. And I'm glad that the Lord knows firsthand the things that we experience. He knows our pain. You know why? He had experienced pain. He knows our sorrows because he felt sorrow. He knows our loneliness because he was betrayed. He knows what it feels to be hungry and thirsty. I'm glad this morning that he knows all about you and I. Isn't that true? You think you're all alone? No. No, you're running. You're not alone. Look to Jesus, man, the author and finisher of your faith. And I'm going to explain those words. Our text motivates and encourages us to look to Jesus, to look away from the things that distract us. Oh, there so-and-so is a distraction. When I see him, I don't want to serve God. When I see her, I get so discouraged, I want to quit coming to church. Hey, listen, man. Let's look away from the things that distract us and let us fix our eyes upon Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the author and finisher of our faith. Author means the pioneer, the leader, the one who's gone before us. And finisher means the perfecter, the companion, the one who's by our side. Do you see that, friends? That while Jesus went ahead to lead us, he's also with us. He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. I love what John 14:6 says. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Friends, when trials and tribulations come our way, sometimes we find ourselves ready to give up. I can't go on anymore. I'm going through too much of a hard time. But listen, let's look at Jesus. And notice that he kept running even when they whipped him 39 stripes. He didn't quit, say, "Oh, I'm no more doing this." Even when he bore the cross, he kept running, as it were. Even when they pierced his side, he kept running, as it were. They laid him in the tomb, but he kept running, as it were. You know why, friends? The early that Sunday morning, he rose with all power in heaven and earth in his hands. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
He continued with endurance in spite of. And you and I can do the same, friends. You and I can do the same. Don't you agree then that we must not give up, that we must run the race of faith, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus? I love Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He said, "I have a great need for Christ and a great Christ for my need." Isn't that lovely? That's Spurgeon. We all carry burdens, yeah? You say, "I don't do." Please come and shake my hand. I don't want to wash it again. We all carry burdens, friends. We all have needs, friends. We all face struggles. But we have a great Christ who meets our needs, who carries our burdens, who gives us strength to overcome our struggles. It was 7 p.m. on October 20th, 1968, at the Mexico City Olympic Stadium. It was beginning to get dark. It had cooled down quite a bit. The last of their Olympic marathon runners were being assisted away to first aid stations. Over an hour earlier, Memo Valdi of Ethiopia had crossed the finish line, winning the 26-mile, that's a 42-kilometer, so 385-yard race, looking as strong and as vigorous as when he started. As the last few thousand spectators began preparing to leave, they heard police sirens and whistles through the gate entering the stadium. Their attention turned to the gate. a sole figure wearing the colors of Tanzania, came limping into the stadium. His name was John Stephen Akwari. He was the last man to finish the 1968 marathon. His leg was bandaged, bloody. He had taken a bad fall early in the race. Now, it was all he could do. Now, all he could do was limp his way around the track. You know, when you come from a marathon, you just don't run straight through the gate to the line. You got to do a lap. The crowd stood and applauded as he completed the last lap. And when he finally crossed the finish line, one man dared ask him the question all were wondering. "You are badly injured. Why didn't you quit? Why didn't you give up?" Akwari was a quiet, humble kind of a person. He said, "My country didn't send me 7,000 miles to start this race. My country sent me to finish this race." Friends, in most races, and you know, the guys who come first, the top runners, they get money, man, or they get trophies and so on. But in the race that I'm talking about, the race of faith, the prize is given to all those who finish the race. Amen. Do you see that, friends? Crossing the finish line makes you a winner. And some great news for us today. We're not alone in the race of faith. Amen. Grandstand. Those heroes of faith who have gone before us. Those cloud of witnesses. They are cheering us on. Reminding us that our struggles we face aren't new. You're not the first one. We've been through that and worse. They are encouraging you. And that you could have victory through Christ. Isn't that lovely? Yeah, the writer says, you know, you're running the race of faith. You get discouraged. Hey, these guys in the stands, these heroes of faith. We read chapter 11, man, they went through a lot. And they're encouraging us and they're yelling, "Keep it up, buddy, keep it going, keep going, keep going." Right? And then you're running and then you're getting tired. And the writer says, wait, I'm not done. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. The author and finisher of your faith. We are called in the meanwhile to run intentionally. Don't drag our feet and say, "Oh well." Take off those things that bug you, man. Those things that irritate you about yourself. Those things that hurt you. Those things that you have been carrying around, those burdens. Get rid of them, man. Just get rid of them. Get rid of them, friends. Everything that hinders you. The sin that you can't just get past. Come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I am struggling with this sin. Please forgive me." And we are called not to walk or jog or take a stroll. We are called to run with endurance, the race that is marked out. May we run with determination, friends. Come on, all of us. Hey? I urge you this morning to run. You know why? There's coming a time when our running days will be over. Amen? You know that time? You know that time? When our running, yes, you do. When we all see Jesus at the finish line and we rejoice with him. And you know what? Because we endured all types of situations, he's not standing there and saying, not too bad. He has a crown. He has a gift for you. He has a prize for you. And that is called the crown of life. Amen, friends. Then we can say, let me close with a verse. We can say like Paul in 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. Paul says, hey, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me to me on that day. And not to me only, but all those who have loved his appearing. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Sometimes, Lord, the weight that we carry doesn't make the race fun. It doesn't make the race enjoyable, and so many are not enjoying their Christian lives. Many are dragging their feet. Many are falling by the wayside. Many are becoming indifferent to you and to their life of faith. And some of us, Lord, sadly, and I'm guilty of that too sometimes, Lord. I carry stuff around, burdens that I should throw off. But today you encourage us all. And so as we take stock of our lives, as individuals, as the Holy Spirit begins to reveal those areas that are where we found wanting, those hindrances, the baggage, as the Holy Spirit reveals to each one of us, because of our desire to run well, to finish well, Lord, we pray you would help us to remove that. Forgive us of our sins. Give us the strength, Lord God, to let go. And I pray this for every one of us, especially me. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.